We have a special treat tonight. Well, the kids and the teens don't. They have to go to class. But us old folks have a special treat tonight. And I'm going to give you a scripture in Esther 4 that the Lord gave me. Anybody know where she is? Somebody help me find Esther. I didn't bring my regular Bible. I didn't bring the Bible I use mostly, so she may not be in this one. Esther 4. Now, I think everybody here knows the background here. The wicked king and the wicked Haman that were going to try to wipe out all the Jews. And Esther, the queen, she's the queen of queens, by the way. And she's a Jew, so her life is in jeopardy and all of her loved ones are in jeopardy. And she goes, her uncle that had raised her, Mordecai, came and says, you need to go to the king and get this new law changed or all of our people are going to be dead. And we know, you know, this beautiful story set in a very serious setting. By the way, I have the movie you can borrow if you want to. It's really good. And Mordecai says to her, if you keep silent, I'm in 4:14, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise from someone else. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but what that, listen to real careful, and who knows but that you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this, and for this very occasion. Now, the reason I wanted you to see that is because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me along that line concerning you as a people. And specifically tonight, our Denise is going to be up here preaching, teaching, raking the bread of life with us tonight. Come and stand by me, Denise. The sooner you get here, the sooner I'll sit down. But it's like, Denise, where are you? There you are. Denise, you remind me of Esther in the sense that God sent you here for such a time as this. Some of us have been here since day one, you know, since the first stone was turned, since the first day of the first service of the church. You know? And but the Lord has sent you in recently. Well, recent's a relative word. But how long have you been here? 4 years now? But the Lord sent you here for such a time as this, you see. We needed you. Now, we didn't need you to replace any of us. We needed you to come in and add to us. Amen? And that's what you've done. You have come in and merged in with us and become one of us. And you've added to what God's doing here. And it was the plan of God, the purpose of God, to bring you here for such a time as this. And I want to thank you for obeying God and thank you for coming. Because you are needed, you are appreciated, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all your words. I was thinking when earlier that you were talking about the phone thing, before we got married and I was in Obregón still, Eric and I last one day on the phone for I think it was about 9 hours. Then we ate together, and then we kept on talking, and we talked about everything, I think, and probably some breathing, and I don't know. But yeah, I was like, well, I guess we're in love. Still. Well, I'm going to something else about what you were telling me right now. I always keep on mind, one time we were in the morning prayer, and I came here to get a job and buy a car originally. That was the original plan. And I remember Pastor Barbara gave me a word, and she said that she felt in her heart that there was something else more than the car, that it was God who had me here for something else, something more than a car. That I didn't get my own car. I got a car with a chauffeur and everything, so God gives more abundantly than what we expect. Anyways, the presence of God is already here. And before I start, I wanted us to watch a short video. I guess we can just go home now. that alone preaches by itself, and it made me, I guess, realize my position, like Pastor Kevin was saying earlier, you know, that he was thinking about his purpose and legs and stuff. And so every once in a while, I examine myself and everything. And, you know, I'm serving God. I do stuff for God. I come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. And if there was another service, I will be there. And, you know, I'm doing my Christian duty, if you want, you know, it's like I'm doing what Christians are supposed to do. But this like hit me. I was like, you know, sometimes we just get comfortable in our area, in what we're doing. It's like, well, I'm serving God, and here's where I'm comfortable. This is enough for me. This is what I'm supposed to do. But our Christian life is not just about serving God per se. It's not, I don't know if, you know, it's not about doing stuff, but it's about producing. We need to produce. I grew up here. Sometimes we just get too comfortable with our Christian lives, doing stuff, but not really producing much. And I read this that I liked. Said, God never called us to be busy. He called us to be fruitful. And that's what's beating in my heart. You know, we need to be fruitful. And there are some stories in the Bible that picture this for us. And if we want to go to Luke 13, verse 6, please. Jesus is telling a parable to his disciples. And in Luke 13, verse 6, it says, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down, it's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance, leave it another year, and I will give it a special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. This word disappointed, it hit me. Like, I thought, well, God is watching me. Jesus is watching me, and he comes every once in a while to see if I am giving fruit. And I was like, is he disappointed every time he comes and watches over me? Am I going to get cut down off? Or if he going to give me another chance to just like work? You know, normally a plant or a tree itself doesn't fertilize itself and all that stuff, you know. But us as Christians, we can, you know, remove stuff that we need to remove in order for us to give fruit. And there's another passage in Matthew 21:18 that is similar to this. Verse 18, it says, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up or dried up. And something that I noticed in this story is that I even went to look for a picture of a fig tree. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful, and they like spread like that. And so it says that fig tree had a lot of leaves. And so he was giving some shade. You know, he was probably doing what a tree is supposed to do. But the thing is that this tree, it was a fig tree. It was supposed to give fruit. And it says that he dried it up. He didn't care about it having leaves or not. He cared about it having fruit. This tree wasn't fulfilling its purpose. Its purpose wasn't to give shade. There's many trees that don't give fruit, but they just give shade. But this one was supposed to give fruit, and he just was cut up. And this made me think about, we don't have to look for it. I'm just going to quote it, Matthew 25:29. It says, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." So this tree, Jesus probably could have left it as a beautiful tree, giving shade, but as I said, his purpose was to give fruit, no shade. So even what the tree had was taken from it. Even the leaves were taken away from them. So we are probably, as I was saying earlier, busy for Christ, but no producing our fruit, which is our purpose in this earth. So even if we are coming to church, we got saved, God worked, did his work in our hearts, and we started growing and everything, you know, but what about the fruit? What about fulfilling our purpose in this earth? What is our purpose on this earth? But what did Jesus call us to do? To make disciples. That's right. But, well, I'm going ahead of me. I want to see, there's two kinds of fruit. We're not just supposed to give fruit. We're supposed to give good fruit, because there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. And Matthew 12:33, it says, "A good tree produces only good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces." And then another similar verse is Matthew 7:17-20. It says, "A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit." I mean, that's obvious. It's we can't expect to be a good tree and produce bad fruit, and we can't expect either to be a bad fruit and produce good fruit. That's it doesn't make sense at all. "So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." And so we need to examine ourselves, and, you know, examine our actions is not something fun for us to do. You know, sometimes we're just... like me, for example, I'm an associate pastor. I went to Bible school, and I can feel that I am fulfilling my call. And what's the word? To confirm, I can be confirmed with that. Like, oh, okay, I'm fulfilling my call. And because once in Bible school, they gave us these numbers, percentage of like people that go to Bible school, and how many they actually serve God, how many don't serve God but remain in church, and how many just don't even, you know, serve God or go to church. They just set apart themselves from God. And so I could be like, oh, well, you know, I'm serving God and everything, but I need to examine myself. I need to examine my actions and see if I am giving fruit. You know, and I was thinking, you know, the church, and I can give excuses to myself and say like, oh, well, I don't have anyone like outside of the church. I don't have any influence circle. Just like, I'm just here. But that's not an excuse. I can still go out and, you know, it's not easy. Go to my neighbors and like pull them in. You know, it's our job to make disciples. It's not our job to come to church every Sunday and give. You know, like she was like, well, I'll give you, Lord. You know, that's great. That's awesome that she was giving money, but that's not it. We are supposed to fill up this church and then get a bigger building so we can fill it up with more people, and so we can fill up heaven with all the people that is lost. And it's just, we need to produce that fruit. And Well, speaking about fruit, we need to go to Galatians 5. And we're going to start in verse 19. And we were talking about good fruit and bad fruit. And verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature or your flesh, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. You know, sometimes we stop, generally speaking, I will stop in sexual immorality. I was like, oh, okay, I'm saved. Impurity, well, I'm saved, you know? But then you go to the sins that don't look like as bad. Sin is sin. Which other sins are like this that they're mentioning there? Can you tell me another sin that they're mentioning there that is like this? Envy. Another one? Anger. Another one? Strife. Jealousy. Lying. Probably we think impurity has to do with sexual immorality because it's right after. But what about, you know, being pure, being holy, being set apart for God, not letting anything, to be a people of integrity, to be, you know, there's truth, there's no lies, there's, you know, let's just keep on going. Selfish ambition, yes. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will be, as we've been reading, we will be cut off. Well, we will not. The ones that do that will be cut off and thrown into fire. And I thought, wow, that list is big, and it just keeps on going. But then it says, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And I want to stop there before anything. And I have heard people said that fruits of the Spirit. But I looked every version. I just found one that says fruits. But out of 30, all of them, it say fruit. And I believe, I always, that I read this, I think about an orange. How an orange is one fruit, but has several wages. And so what I'm wanting to say with this is that, let's keep on reading, I'm sorry. It produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a short list. But you know what? All of this has to be the fruit in our lives. And I used to think I have more of love and joy and patience, but some of the other ones, I don't think I have. And I was like, no, I have to have them. Because if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, you know, sometimes in the orange, have you noticed there's some wages that are smaller than the other ones? Probably we have some of those more developed than the others. But all of those, we cannot say joy is hard for me. You know, I just can't. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us produces this kind of fruit. And I think love is the first one and is the seed. I see it like the seed because God is love. So I feel like God inside of us, His Holy Spirit, producing us love, joy, everything. You know, we cannot love just people that we like. We have to love everyone. And we have to be happy people. You know, I'm going to this. As probably you're thinking, you were talking about disciples and now you're talking about fruit and joy and love. And that's the way we're gonna, Jesus is attractive. Jesus, this place should be exploding of people, because people should see God in us, and I'm including myself. Jesus should be like, hey, I mean, why are you always like smiling and joyful and happy? And you know, like probably you're going through something hard, but you can tell just because I, you know, like you are always happy. You are always joyful. You're always smiling. You're always full of love. You know, when I'm with you, I just feel such a peace in my heart. It's like, and you know, probably people having a hard boss. And people need patience, but the other coworkers notice that you are like patient, very patient and kind, always kind with people. You know, goodness, you're like just a good person. And not because you are doing stuff, but just because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. You know, we are faithful, faithful to other people, faithful to God, to His Word, gentleness, self-control. You know, it's not stuff that we need to put effort into. It's just, well, I'm going to give you the secret in a little bit. So, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature of their flesh. I guess sinful nature sounds like, I don't know. Flesh, I think, is more simple to me. You know, sometimes we don't feel like doing stuff, and that's our flesh. Sometimes we don't feel like being kind. We don't feel like loving. We don't feel like smiling. We don't feel like, you know, that spirit is there. But our flesh opposed, well, says our flesh, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their flesh to His cross and crucify them there. They stay there. We can't bring them back. We cannot. They stay there. Since we are living by the Spirit, who is living by the Spirit here? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading, the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Not in the ones that are convenient, not in the ones that sound good or are easy for us. It's in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceit or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful... I went up to verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your flesh craves. You know, our flesh craves to do stuff or not to do stuff. We are flesh. We are in our early body. So, we nail our passions and desires on the cross, but we still, well, it says here that they fight. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, they are two forces, are constantly fighting each other. Constantly. So if you fight today, they're going to fight tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and every day and every hour of the day, they're going to keep on fighting. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So you know what? There's a lot of people that have good intentions. And there's a pastor that said, you know what? I don't care about your good intentions. Good intentions are not good if they are just good intentions, you know? Like, oh, I wanted to. I had a friend that she would like, when I live in Obregón, she will come to the States like, oh, I went to the States and I saw this shirt that it like had your face and I wanted to get it for you so bad. You know, I was like, oh, how nice of you, you know, but she got clothes for herself. And I'm not judging. The thing is that like good intentions are like nice, but it's nicer when the good intention is fulfilled. So good intentions are good for nothing if they stay just in good intention. You know that saying, like, oh, it's the intention which counts? What it counts for? if it was just an intention, there's no fruit, exactly. So our good intentions are not good We need to, I'm going to give you the secret now. In John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So again, same story. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes or cleans so that it will be even more fruitful. So there's people that are actually being fruitful, like pastors here. They are such a great example of giving fruit and, you know, all their work they do in Mexico and everything. But it says here, I'm not saying this to you, but it says that so that we can do even more fruit. And well, of course, they're going to give more fruit, but it's not like, oh, I'm giving fruit, that's enough. No, he wants us to like give even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So we get clean in the word of God. Every time we examine ourselves, you know, it's not, it says here that we are already clean, but you know, this flat, the roses out here were not cut just once and that was it, right? Do you keep on pruning them all the time? Okay, twice a week. So we keep on cleaning ourselves in the word that I have spoken to you. So we have the word of God here that keeps on speaking to us and we clean ourselves. So it says, first time, remain in me. This is the secret. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So that's the secret. You know, how is it going to be not a good intention? By remaining in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit can be inside of us and give fruit. You know, it's like going to put gas to your car. You go and put gas, you know, you're filling up with joy and love and peace. You know, we come and fill up our lives. But there's a point that it runs out of gasoline, right? We need to put more. So the same way, we need to, I'm sorry, I teach kids, so I give the same examples, I guess. We need to keep on filling ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. How remaining. We're going to keep on reading. I am the vine and you are the branches. Pastor Kevin was saying, we are his body. If you remain again in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and dries. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So, being full with the Holy Spirit, we bear much fruit, and we show ourselves to be his disciples. But disciples make disciples. You know, we are not fig trees, so we don't give figs. We are disciples, so we are supposed to bear disciples. So this is how we give glory to God. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain again in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. So Jesus gave us an example since the beginning of times. He showed us how to do it. I have told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be completed. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You did not choose, sorry, Mitch, I'm just jumping. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. And I want to just go back here and set some, point out some things that it says here. Starting with, once I heard, if Jesus says once something one time, it's important. If he says two times, it's very important. And so here it says 9 times to remain, to remain, to remain, to remain, to remain, to remain. 9 times. I mean, is it, it's like, do you get it? You need to remain in me. You know, there's people that keep on serving God, and I'm going to put it in quotation marks, but they are just like doing their own thing. You know, they're not part of the body. They are just, you know, they don't have relationship with Christian people, but they are creating their own thing. And it says here that a part of him, we can do nothing, that we need to remain in the vine. And another thing that I wanted to point out, does this last verses that I was reading, or trying to read, I'm sorry, sound familiar to Galatians 5? You know, it says that our joy is going to be completed. And it says that again and again, it goes to love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus is like, you know what? I'm not telling you just to love. I'm telling you to love how I did. Like I said, I set an example for you. And, you know, I think it doesn't mention the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, kindness, because it's like the great commandment, you know, like love God with everything that we are and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so that will bring joy. That will bring peace. We're going to be patient because we love them, and we were going to be patient in every situation and with everyone. We're going to be kind. We're going to be gentle. It's just like comes out of there. It's all together. It's all together. And just to close, I didn't have it here, but just the example of Jesus in Philippians 2 and verse 2. It says, then make me truly happy. And this is Paul, but if it makes Paul happy, it will make Jesus happy and it will make God happy. By agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. And I guess I'm going to stop here, because how many of you, I'm not going to raise my hand, agree wholeheartedly with everyone? It's hard. It's like, it's hard. But you know, if we have the Holy Spirit and he's renewing our minds, there's going to be a point that we just going to agree. But we can agree on loving God. And starting with that, we can agree wholeheartedly with each other. Loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. And what is our purpose? Make disciples. That's our purpose. I mean, then why will be, I always say, like, if we are just supposed to be get saved, I think as soon as we repeat the prayer and with all our heart, we will like, phew, go to heaven and just start worshiping God and enjoying ourselves. But no, we're still here in the earth, and we are not here to enjoy the stuff that is here, which we can enjoy some, not everything. And sometimes it's more like a distraction. And anyways, that's another message. But the only purpose that we are still here is to share what we have. We've been saved, and we are supposed to save the others. You know, it's like if we are in the ocean and there's a bunch of people drowning and someone pulls you into a boat and you start like rolling to go to the island or to earth. I mean, and what about the other people that is drowning? We need to save them too. That's the only... So we need to keep on working with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. And you know what? If we keep on our minds what our purpose is, we won't be selfish. But we just get into what is in this world, and we get so involved in what's happening here that our flesh attacks us and we don't try to impress others. I mean, all this is stuff from the world. People in the world is selfish. People, they're just looking for their own. Don't try to impress others. People of the world is trying to impress. Yeah, if it's a job or a good career and studies and money and a house, who has the biggest house, the best car. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. That's a hard one. Well, all of those are hard, but with the Spirit, it's the Spirit in us. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equally with God as something to cling to. This is so powerful. This just amazes me how Jesus left his comfort. He left everything and he came down. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave them up. No one took them from him. He gave them up. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died as a criminal's death on a cross. But it didn't end there. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah, Jesus. So that cannot be in vain. We need to follow his example. We need to bite our flesh and let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us and remain. 9 times. In Spanish, there's 11 times. I guess Mexicans need to work harder. But I just want to, you know, most of the people here is leadership. But, well, it starts with someone. We need to reflect Jesus. We need to turn the light on and let his Spirit just come out. But we can't get out of Jesus and try to do it. We need to remain in him and be sensitive to his voice and just obey him and make disciples. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whoever we meet, just that's my biggest desire and prayer. That, you know, it says preach the word, use words if it's needed or something like that. So that people would like, you know, I mean, Peter's shadow will heal people. But I think he spent a lot of time with the Holy Spirit. And I guess we need to, because I haven't seen anyone get healed with my shadow. But, you know, Jesus said that even greater things. And I'm glad he brought it back up to me. You know, there's this part in John 15, verse 8, where it said, no. Anyways, it said, it somewhere there in John 15, it said something about that he will give us our hearts, whatever we pray or whatever we say, I'm sorry. There it is. I found it. It's verse 16. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And many people read that and they think like, oh, you know, he's our provider, yes. But we don't need anything if we have him. And many people think like, oh, he's gonna give me everything that I ask for. You know, like a car or a house or pay my bills and like our needs that are from this earth. No, he will give us, I mean, yes, he's gonna give us that, but that's not the point. He's our provider. If we seek him, he's gonna, you know, seek his kingdom, and he will give you all those things that bring worry, that make us worry about stuff. But the thing is here is that when I read that, it's like God wants to give us His gifts, His spirit, His power, His boldness. What do we need so we can impact people where we are at? He's going to give us whatever we ask. And let's not go for material stuff, but, you know, for what's important for so that we can fulfill our purpose. So, yes.
Thank you, and wow. I love that. I learned something. I don't know why I had to, you know, I'm getting ready to have another birthday. I'm going to be 39 again. And in all those years, I never heard it quite like that. I'm a disciple tree, so I must produce disciples. If an apple tree bears apples and an orange tree bears oranges and a peach tree bears peaches, a disciple tree must bear disciples. That went in me. Thank you. That just went into my understanding. I am a disciple tree. The Lord calls us trees of righteousness. Oh, wow. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that this word we've heard tonight will get on the inside of us and cleanse and change and adjust, build up and edify, prune, fertilize, water. May the word of God we've heard tonight just make a difference in our lives. And Lord, help us to realize that we are trees of righteousness. We are disciple trees, disciples of Christ, and we will bear disciples. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Next service is tomorrow morning at 10 for those that come to prayer meeting. And then we have work day Saturday. Am I correct? Is it this Saturday?
Yes, work day.
From 8 to 12 this Saturday. Everybody that can come, please do so, and we'll do some work around the church. Get our coolers ready for summer. We've got a new cooler to put on the kitchen, praise the Lord. The old one's rusted away. And as soon as we get a little more money in the pot, we're going to put a new one on the big kid's room up here on the craft room. That one's really bad. Eric worked on that one. His rusty parts falling apart in his hands, you know. It's bad. Anyway, with the Lord's helping us get them replaced. We got one of them purchased and the other one will soon be purchased. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, those that can come, please do so. Have a good week. God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. In Jesus' name.